Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Financial Flight Plan podcast. Boy, we've got a great show on tap for you today. I'm Walter Storholt alongside Bree Reyes. She's the investor coach and certified financial planner at Estes Financial Services throughout the Metroplex, but with an office right there in Fort Worth. You can find the team online by going to estesfinancial.net and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn as well. Lots of different places to connect. Bree, what's up in your world?
Ooh, not much. Tim's back from vacation, so we are running on all cylinders again at the office and getting ready for fall.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're in fall, getting ready for winter.
I was going to say he's not allowed to leave the office anymore, but you have a nice time when he decides to go on a trip, right?
Oh, you know, it's fun.
It's a little more fun having that
it's more freedom around the office. I honestly like getting Dad back too.
Yeah.
I mean, most people know that not only are we business partners, but he's also my dad. So right. I miss him when he is gone.
There's a reason you work together, and it must be because you like each other, right?
We do. We have a good time together.
Well, that's important and always nice to see and good to hear because sometimes family and business doesn't mix. We know the old sayings there, but you guys have found a way to make it work and that's admirable and pretty cool. I'm sure it's something you enjoy. Well, we found this article, today's podcast topic. You probably saw the headline having to do with an article in the Wall Street Journal that we came across. And it's about kind of a couple of different things, but primarily it covered the fiduciary rule or the change, the reversal of that rule that came into conversation, and how it's impacting how financial products are sold. And the article goes on to talk about, you know, the sales pitches that you might get at like a steak dinner with a financial advisor. You get the invitation in the mail, you go to the steak dinner and you get a presentation about a financial product and a conversation about that, and then an invitation to a meeting, those kinds of things. So it was a really good article, Bree, but kind of wide ranging where it covered a lot of different topics. What jumped out to you about this that you think somebody would be interested in hearing about?
To me, this is a fun article. The number one thing that jumped out at me is Dad and I both are certified financial planners, and Dad is also an accredited fiduciary or has an accreditation for a fiduciary as well. So to us, the fiduciary rule still exists. I understand for some people and some brokers were cheering when it was reversed and the fiduciary rule kind of fell apart. But to us, we've always oversaw our accounts, we act in our clients' best interest. I mean, that has always been part of our mission and why the firm was founded. I mean, why Dad founded the firm so many years ago was he saw my grandparents being taken advantage of and put in a investment that was really unsuitable for them. And so a lot of what I read about in this article reminds me of the situation my grandparents got themselves in too, unfortunately. And that investment was so financially devastating for them that they lost a huge majority of their retirement savings. And my grandfather had worked painfully. Well, he was a house painter, so he was up and down ladders in Houston, Texas, in the humidity and the heat. And I just know how hard they scraped to save for retirement. And so, you know, reading about the dinner seminars that are usually used to sell high commission products, either annuities or life insurance, always just kind of, how do I put this? Irritate me just a little bit.
Rub you the wrong way. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely rubs me the wrong way. I'm not saying that all annuities or life insurance are bad. I don't believe the world is black and white usually when it comes to financial services planning or financial planning in general. I believe there's a lot of gray areas. And for some people, annuities are great. But unfortunately, with these dinner seminars and the way that they're typically sold in these high-pressure situations is they're sold as the end-all, be-all that everyone needs. And to me, that's just not how the world works. It's not so black and white.
Yeah, that's a really good point that you make, Bree. And, you know, I think it's just this conversation of, you know, looking at how a financial rule gets proposed and the whole industry tries to react. And then a new administration comes in, changes that rule, and everything kind of goes back to status quo, or maybe now it's kind of changed forever, but in a different way. And I thought that was one of the interesting things in this article that they pointed out was that basically they just looked at annuity sales, but this would probably apply to different types of financial products, but they're basically saying that annuity sales started to dip when the rule got announced that it would eventually take place. So less and less annuities were being sold during that period of time. And then as soon as it was announced that the rule wasn't actually going to be implemented and go through, annuity sales started to increase right back up. What do you as a financial advisor kind of read into looking at numbers like that that apply to the whole country, obviously, but what do you kind of read into that situation?
I read into the situation that maybe a lot of people were selling annuities that shouldn't have been. So my number one tip, if you attend a dinner workshop or a seminar or something like that, is always go back and use broker check. A lot of people don't know what that is, but that is the financial industry's regulatory authorities way to check on and see who your presenter was and see if they have any disciplines against them, actions going on. Just kind of check their reputation, really. See what their record is. And the best way to do that, you go to FINRA, FINRA.org. And there's a section for broker check. And you can type in their name and either the zip code of their office or just hit enter and it'll pull up everybody with that name. And just read about them. Not enough people do that step. You know, you'll look up reviews on your contractor. You'll look up reviews on, you know, a lot of people that come in your life. That's why they have all those online websites now where you can review people or look at people and even all those places. But no one actually does the research on some financial advisors. And to me, that's the scariest thing. I mean, that's where you are putting your bulk of your livelihood potentially with them. And so take a look at broker check. That's the first thing I would implore everyone to do who's gone to a dinner seminar. And then usually when it comes to an annuity, and like I said, I have no ill will against them. I think that they're good in some cases. I think they're often oversold in other cases. Ask what the pros and the cons are of every investment like that. And when you're sitting down, if you take that secondary meeting, and also ask what the potential commission would be in that regard. How much is the financial advisor making off of the sale of the annuity? Because to me, that's also a big red flag. How they're structuring their commissions.
Yeah, it's good to ask those questions, right? How do you get paid? You know,
how do you get paid? It's a very fair question. I never get offended when anybody asks me how I'm getting paid for something. In fact, around here, we're super upfront about it. It's something we cover very, very early in the relationship. Why? Because Dad and I both want everyone to know what they're getting paid for and what services are available to them. We never want anyone to go, oh, I didn't know you could do that. And I especially welcome questions. If you meet with somebody and they aren't comfortable with you asking questions or they have all the answers, because sometimes it's perfectly legitimate, especially when you have as many annuities as there are out there, to say, I don't know, let me look into that for you. If you feel like somebody's maybe a little too smooth on something, go with your gut, think about it. And also, what are the penalties if I get into this investment? Because so many annuities have heavy penalties if you withdraw your money early. So they're not a short-term investment, and they're definitely not something to go into without fully understanding what the strategy with the annuity is. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. My takeaway seems to be that the problem isn't so much in the marketing effort, right, of the dinner seminar, because that's all it is hey, come to a seminar, let me teach you about X, Y, and Z. It doesn't matter what's being taught at first. It's just that's the marketing piece from a financial company inviting you out. Their opportunity to meet you. So that's sort of your
I think everybody knows that going into one of those dinner workshops. If you don't know going into the dinner workshop that they're trying to get you to meet them, get a good feel for you, and you to get a good feel for them, then okay, that's what the initial problem is. My problem isn't with that. My problem is the view of once that is over that everyone needs XYZ product. And to me, if you lead with the product for anyone, for anything, you're going about life the wrong way. You know, we're a holistic financial planning firm. So when someone sits down with us for our first initial meeting, it's usually a get to know you meeting because we're not a right fit for everyone and everyone's not a right fit for us. And I'd rather know in that first meeting how that works and whether or not we're going to have a good working relationship. And if not, send you on your merry way and maybe with a referral to someone you can work with. And vice versa. If you don't love us, then it's not going to work well for you either. So if someone's trying to push you into a product the first time you sit down with them, that's a huge red flag to me.
Yeah.
So huge, huge red flag to me. Or at a dinner when they don't even know anything about your financial circumstances. Huge red flag to me.
Yeah, if you hear an annuity would probably be a good fit for you and you haven't talked for more than 1 minute, then that's a red flag, right?
Exactly. And like I said, not all annuities are bad. We use them. We use them for people when they're needed for their overall financial plan. The problem is they get sold like McDonald's cheeseburgers, where everybody, you know, it's almost like an Oprah situation. Everybody needs an annuity. You need an annuity. You need, and I'm not, nothing works that way.
And also remember that different annuities do different things as another takeaway here. So you could attend a dinner seminar. You could attend three seminars. One might be for, you know, one type of annuity. The next one might be for, let's say, a variable annuity. One specific type might be the one that's pitched to you. But you might also attend a seminar that is hosted by someone who is a holistic planner, who is looking out for your best interest, and they're just using it as a piece of marketing. The problem is it's just so hard to tell the difference between all of those because the presentations for those who are just pitching the products can veil a little bit that holistic planning approach, right?
Exactly. And that's what makes me, that's what upsets my tummy here.
When someone who's not a fiduciary almost
when
presents
someone,
themselves.
Yeah, when someone who's not a fiduciary hosts something and kind of tries to pretend like they are or tries to pretend like they're a certified financial planner when they're not.
That's a really good point. That's what the fiduciary rule, among other things, was trying to fix, was trying to, at least in a way, make it easier to see. It's kind of like our previous podcast, Bree. You have a choice right now, if you're an advisor, to be a fiduciary advisor, to go get your certified financial planner, you know, certificate or designation. I don't know if that's the right terminology.
Designation.
Or you don't have to, right? And so it's like the soda tax that we talked about in our previous. You don't have to do it. But the fiduciary rule is kind of like the soda size, right? It's trying like New York trying to control your soda size. It was saying you need to go and be a fiduciary. So I guess there was good heart behind that rule. But at the same time, it was kind of trying to force people into it, maybe?
A little bit of pendulum swinging. There's not enough regulation, so we'll put way too much regulation on it. And then we don't need that much regulation, so we're going to use none. It's in the investor's best interest to do their due diligence. And I highly recommend everybody do due diligence. It does not offend me when you want to check out my broker check. If you want to ask to speak to some of our existing clients, you know, let us call them first and make sure they're okay with us giving out their information. But it doesn't offend me. It really doesn't. And or asking me how I'm going to get paid. And if it does offend somebody, in this article, they talk about a gentleman who wouldn't even answer questions via email. He refused to do so until she made an appointment to come into the office. To me, that's a giant red flag. I'm not going to answer every question via email to somebody that I don't know because I don't know their situation, and I'm going to want them to come into the office and sit down. But if they're just general questions, sure. Feel free. Email me. I love it.
Information, as we said on the last podcast as well, in regards to the calories on the menu, right? Information is power. And so don't be afraid to collect it and to ask for it. That's a big takeaway here from this article. Anything else that jumped out to you that we should cover? Or did we hit the nail on the head on that one pretty well?
We hit the nail on the head pretty well there. You know, there's not a perfect financial instrument for everyone. Everybody's circumstances are different. And make sure you're working with a certified financial planner or investor coaches that understand your specific needs.
That's a really big, important piece of the puzzle, no doubt about it. If you're interested in reading this article from the Wall Street Journal, I will warn you, they did put it behind, it wasn't at first, but it is behind a paywall. So if you don't subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, you won't be able to read it. But if you do, you can go check it out and read the article. It was interesting, and it'll cover, you know, a lot of the things that we talked about here today. But I think it's important to listen to the podcast in conjunction with the article.
Or give me a call at the office, 817-444-8402, and I can kind of walk you through the article a little bit.
Yeah, but it's a great test, right? So if you see something in the article that you're like, hey, this sounds off, this sounds wrong, or what's up with that? Bree can kind of answer your questions. She's that open book, right? So you're happy to answer inquiries and questions. But it doesn't have to all be butterflies and rainbows here on the podcast, right? Sometimes we have to look at the financial industry and say, hey, here's a problem. Here's what's wrong. And that's what this article was all about. And I think it's fun to have an honest discussion sometimes about what's happening so that people can be better informed. And that's the bottom line. 817-444-8402 is your number to call to reach Bree Reyes, Tim Estes, and the team at Estes Financial Services. Again, 817-444-8402, or just contact them through the website estesfinancial.net. That's Estes, E-S-T-E-S, financial.net, or find us online, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn as well. Bree, thanks for the time today, and we'll talk to you on the next podcast.
Thank you, and everyone go out and lead an abundant life.